Welcome to the What Really Happened radio show. Putting America first, second, and third. Here is your host, Michael Rivero.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to our show, hour number three. And for those of you watching on Justin TV, the gorgeous woman sitting behind me is my lovely wife, Claire. Sometime poster to whatreallyhappened.com. Composer extraordinaire. She wrote most of the bump music that you hear on the show. And as a matter of fact, next week we're heading off to the World Choir Games in Cincinnati, where Claire is going to meet with some of the top choral directors from around the world and show them her music. And for those of you who follow our work on whatreallyhappened.com, we had two videos recently, Kyrie Eleison, and the other one was In Times of War, and they both got a very good positive response on the YouTube community, and she, of course, wrote the music for both of those. And as a matter of fact, let's start out here by talking about In Times of War. I know we had you on the show a little while ago to talk about it. Just basically what motivated you to write this piece of music.
Well, it's almost, honey, as though I were in a dream and you're watching this train wreck in slow motion. And you have to try to do something about it. And so as an artist, and I would call myself a mystical Christian, I felt called, very much called, to sit and write a lyric, a prose poem, if you will, about what I'm seeing and what war does to people as individuals in terms of destroying conscience and causing us to demonize, quote-unquote, the other, so that it becomes reasonable and fair in the public mind for us to be attacking and killing these people. And my hope was that with this piece of music out there and with the very lovely video that you did, it might cause some people to think about what seems to me to be a demonization of people of Muslim origin.
Well, it's not just the demonization of people of Muslim origin. It's the demonization of anybody who is thinking in terms of an alternative to war. Mm-hmm. And a lot of what you wrote in the language of In Times of War very much mirrors the comments that Mark Twain wrote in his War Prayer and Mysterious Stranger about how people of good conscience who are speaking out against the folly of war are just constantly being browbeat and shamed into staying silent when they know they should speak out. What's that quote by Ella Wheeler Wilcox? To sin by silence when we should protest makes cowards of men.
Yes.
And it's absolutely true, and that's one of the reasons I'm always talking to people who call into the show and they ask, what can I do to help? And I said, the very best, most important thing you can do is speak out and continue to speak out, because when you speak out, you give courage to those around you to speak out. And that is how public consensus is going to be formed against this lunacy of war, which is going to just benefit the money junkies. Wars are big business for the money junkies. They loan the money for the bombs, and then they loan you more money for the reconstruction. And you wind up where you were before, except the graveyards are a lot larger, and you are now in debt to the money junkies for the next several generations. And I think it's time to break that cycle. You know, we've had two world wars. We're hovering on the verge of a third one, and we need to remember, before the creation of the Federal Reserve, there was no such thing as a world war. But it's just this giant heartbeat to smash humanity and crush the last bit of blood out of them to turn into gold. And that's all it is. There's no right or wrong. It is simply, you know, our version of the argument against the other guy, and we're going to go to war and kill a bunch of people. We're coming to the end of this segment here. And we're going to keep Claire here for pretty much all of the hour. If you have ever had any questions about her or her music, the phone lines are open, 800-313-9443, 800-313-9443. Manny is in the control room, staying with us for this last hour before we all head out to hot dogs and beer and fireworks, if you have them where you are, and we'll be right back.
Chlorine, fluoride, pathogens, and more are in the water you drink day to day. Do you want the ability to remove and reduce those harmful things in the water you drink? You can. How? With a Berkey water filter. A complete standalone gravity filter system that requires no electricity and no plumbing. Use for emergencies or for every day. Berkey systems come in 7 different sizes. Where can you get one? From GetBerkey.com. That's GetBerkey.com. With the purchase of each system, you get 50% off accessories, such as fluoride filters, water level spigot, and sport bottles. Plus, free shipping on all orders over $25. For a limited time, get 5% off all ceramic systems when you use coupon code RBN. Call GetBerkey at 855-GetBerkey. That's 855-438-2375. Or visit GetBerkey.com. That's GetBerkey.com.
Don't answer it! How can I stop these annoying collection calls?
Imagine being free from your debt without settling and with no payment plan, no negotiating or filing bankruptcy, and no attorneys. What if you could eliminate the risk from all your unsecured debt in about 90 days and keep all your money? You can. It's called Zero Debt Guarantee, and it works. There's no other program of its kind on the planet, and we guarantee the results in writing. Call now, 800-477-9256. Let our team of experts provide you with the resources to fight back, stop collection calls, and prevent and stop wage garnishments and bank levies. If you're facing foreclosure, we can help. Don't go it alone. Get free information now by calling 800-477-9256. Talk to an expert who has also completed our program. Call 800-477-9256 for free info or go to ZeroDebtGuarantee.com. That's 800-477-9256 or go to ZeroDebtGuarantee.com.
As business becomes more difficult, control of cash and the ability to borrow becomes critical. Working capital cash is your greatest insurance and guarantee of financial stability in these uncertain times. Equipment leasing allows you to obtain the income-producing equipment that your business needs and pay for it with tax-free, ever-devaluing dollars. Money that you've already earned and paid taxes on should be sparingly used. That is your reserve capital, safety net. We are also able to buy and lease back equipment that you already own and have depreciated, thereby making more cash available for your present-day needs. For a complete, comprehensive explanation as to how this financial truth will benefit your business future, call Bob New Incorporated at 888-639-2621. 888-639-2621. Keep your working capital cash reserves and borrowing capability. 888-639-2621.
Wall Street wizards on the lam from a mental institution claim private retirement funds. Yeah, they are the best solution. But when the markets crash, we'll be asking where's the cash. Guess them folks in D.C. must be smoking Texas hash. Will Congress pay the piper?
And aloha, America. Welcome back to the show. And some interesting news stories coming in here. Apparently, the wife of a judge just got arrested for transporting illegal immigrants. Oh, my goodness. Down on Highway 77, Sandra Lee Miller, 41, wife of a justice of the peace, recently run for public office herself, and apparently she's been caught smuggling illegal immigrants. Oh, my, they're all criminals up there, so forth and so on. Secret Service has shut down the Fire Eric Holder protest and claiming that there was a suspicious package, which is the convenient one-stop excuse for police to come in and or Secret Service to come in and make your life miserable. There was a suspicious package. Actually, that was the garbage. I was taking it out today. All righty. So anyway, we've talked about the music. We've talked about the videos. People have seen them. They've passed them on. You had some concerns about developments in the Middle East and how they possibly impact on this rush to war.
Yes, I do. Right now, there is a very contentious issue going on in the Knesset in Israel, and it has to do with the draft law, the Tal law, which is going to be replaced concerning drafting the ultra-Orthodox. And Mofaz, who is the leader of the Kadima component of Netanyahu's unity government, has threatened Netanyahu that unless he comes up with a plan within days that the Knesset can vote on, that he is going to take the Kadima component away, get the Knesset dissolved, which is the only thing it can do at that point, ahead of general elections in the fall.
Basically, the coalition government is starting to fall apart.
Starting to unravel, yes.
And you might think that's sort of a good thing because, hey, the Knesset's falling apart. But without a Knesset sitting, basically riding herd on the government, basically it's going to give Benjamin Netanyahu a blank check to do whatever he wants to from now until the next election.
Right, and it also gives the members of the Knesset cover in a way because they can say, don't blame me if Netanyahu went to war because I wasn't there to stop him. But if, in fact, the Knesset does dissolve, this is going to, I think, accelerate the timing and the possibility that there will be a military strike against Iran.
Well, I think given the developments in Lebanon between these three espionage devices that were discovered by Hezbollah and Israel self-destructed them, now this new story about some unknown party, nudge, nudge, wink, wink, say no more, in Lebanon firing a missile into Syria, it looks like Israel's getting ready to move into Lebanon the moment there's some kind of a distraction for the rest of the world to look at, like the U.S. bombing Syria and so forth and so on. Now, the other development, of course, is there is right now a huge power vacuum in Saudi Arabia and a great deal of contention within the royal family that may, for all intents and purposes, sort of hamstrung Saudi Arabia's ability to project power beyond its own borders.
There has been a split in the leadership. It's a hereditary monarchy. And when the last king died out of country because he was receiving medical treatment, there was a gentleman who was supposed to have replaced him. And there is also another one of the royal princes contending for power in a country where, well, let's say the House of Saud is not exactly universally loved.
Mostly because of their continuing support of the United States of America, you know, in the middle of a population that understands the tremendous pain and suffering Israel and the U.S. are bringing, you know, to their neighbors.
And a tremendous repression against their own people. This is something that doesn't get covered much in Western media. But, yeah, someone can stand up and say, I want to peacefully protest this, that, or the other, and find themselves on the near side of a jail cell very, very quickly.
Well, like the Secret Service just did to the Fire Eric Holder protest.
Apparently. Oh, absolutely. So you've got these two elements in play, and here's a third element that did not get much coverage also. Apparently, the technical talks between the P5 plus one and Iran have ended. And there is no new date that has been set.
Okay, now this is the technical session
this
that was continuing on.
Yeah, the technical session.
Well, I know yesterday Iran was saying that the rest of the P5 plus one were basically dragging their heels and not willing to make any adjustment or movement. But it really all comes down to the United States of America, which went into the P5 plus one talks with Iran with the position that Iran has to surrender all their nuclear activity now. And then after Iran has basically gone back to the coal and oil age, then and only then the United States might consider easing the sanctions. Now, this, of course, is a position designed to fail. Iran cannot agree to surrender their nuclear technology without a guarantee for the easing of sanctions.
Absolutely.
Because then their own people would get very upset with them. And so the whole goal of this thing was to go through the P5 plus one and not allow any progress or concessions to be made in order for the U.S. and Israel to posture before the world. We tried, but gosh darn, those Iranians just couldn't see things our way, which, of course, they're not obligated to.
And it's absolutely insane in light of the fact that being a signatory to the NNPT, the Non-Proliferation Treaty, should, with all rights and privileges, allow Iran to develop their nuclear technology for peaceful purposes, as they are with the generator, the power generator.
Power stations, medical isotopes, industrial applications.
Yeah.
See, here's the sticking point. For the U.S. is out there screaming about international obligations and treaties. The reality is that the U.S. signed the Non-Proliferation Treaty with Iran, and under that treaty, the U.S. recognizes Iran's right to peaceful uses of nuclear technology. And Iran is playing by the rules. And one of the rules is Article 4. And under Article 4, the U.S. is supposed to be in there helping Iran build their power station, which is a really good way to make sure it's not a bomb factory.
Right.
So in avoiding, in ignoring Article 4, and in using the threat of military force to coerce Iran to surrender their rights under the treaty, it is the U.S. that is in violation of international law and not living up to its international obligations. And what is really bizarre about this, of course, is this other story where Benjamin Netanyahu is calling on Obama to force Morsi to make sure that Egypt keeps to the Camp David Accords. So you have the Israel, which has violated more UN resolutions than any other country, has not signed the Non-Proliferation Treaty, has nuclear weapons, was caught trying to sell one to South Africa, asking the United States of America, which is violating the SALT Treaty, the ABM Treaty, and the Non-Proliferation Treaty, especially with regards to Iran, to try and convince Morsi to honor Egypt's treaty obligations with Israel. I mean, it's just this completely bizarre world. Like, it's okay for Israel and the U.S. to ignore treaty obligations, but by golly, the rest of you better do it. It's that same kind of money junkie attitude we're seeing in the United States of America. If you strip to protest the TSA, you're going to go to court and go to jail. But if you loot 300 million Americans of 40% of their net worth, you're not going to get arrested or anything like that. It is absolutely unbelievable the degree of hypocrisy that we're seeing in this governmental system.
And also in relation to treaties with Russia. And Russia is getting very nervous because the U.S. is putting its nuclear capabilities right in Russia's backyard in Romania.
Okay. Well, that is definitely going to escalate the situation. But in that case, what's going on here is the U.S. government is trying to basically bring back the Cold War. That's what's going on here. And that is purely an exercise in extorting more money from the American people and, mm-hmm. and more of your children to fight in wars against Russian proxies. The reality is, though, that were the U.S. and Russia to go to nuclear war right now, the U.S. is going to lose because our entire anti-ballistic missile system, which is a violation of the ABM Treaty, is based on intercept of a ballistic path, and all of Russia's newest MIRV warheads are able to maneuver to get around that. It's impossible to predict where they're going to be, you know, by the time your interceptor gets there.
So we are paying essentially billions and billions of dollars for technology which has been overshot by Russia's technological advances.
It's already obsolete, but the companies that are making this obsolete anti-missile system are good congressional donors.
Oh, I bet they are.
And that's basically how that whole situation is working. But the idea is the U.S. is desperate to get back the Cold War. When they lost the Soviet Union as an enemy, all the American people started saying exactly the same thing. Well, finally, after all these years of the Cold War, we can start spending our tax money on us. We can build better schools. We can build better hospitals. We can build better roads and bridges. We can fix up all the stuff that's been going away. And the U.S. government said, no, we don't want to spend your tax money on you. What do you think this is, a free nation? You know, we're going to spend it on this. And they started coming up with all these new wars. They didn't have a Cold War with Russia, so it was the war on drugs and the war on poverty and the war on dangling participles and the war on terror yeah. and the war on waxy yellow buildup. Because every time they use the word war, it activates certain authorities for the president that bypass the Congress and the Constitution. That's why they always use that war. It's not just flowery rhetoric. It is a legal maneuver.
And not only that, Mike, but I noticed that every time this government invokes the alleged war on terror, quote, unquote, what it really is a war against people who happen to live either adjacent to or over certain resources that the U.S. government wants to expropriate.
Well, it's now been
itself.
Expanded. It's now been extended. The war on terror is the war on any nation that dares to have a state bank and a value-based currency, because that is a threat to life as we know it in the United States of America. We got to take a break for commercials. Mm-hmm. We'll be right back.
Don't answer! it. How can I stop these annoying collection calls?
Imagine being free from your debt without settling and with no payment plans, no negotiating or filing bankruptcy, and no attorneys. What if you could eliminate the risk from all your unsecured debt in about 90 days and keep all your money? You can. It's called Zero Debt Guarantee, and it works. There's no other program of its kind on the planet, and we guarantee the results in writing. Call now, 800-477-9256. Let our team of experts provide you with resources to fight back, stop collection calls, and prevent and stop wage garnishments and bank levies. If you're facing foreclosure, we can help. Don't go it alone. Get free information now by calling 800-477-9256. Talk to an expert who has also completed our program. Call 800-477-9256 for free info or go to ZeroDebtGuarantee.com. That's 800-477-9256 or go to ZeroDebtGuarantee.com.
In an emergency situation, would you drink contaminated water? You could if you had the amazing Life Straw from MyPatriotSupply.com. Life Straw is the most advanced personal water filter available today. It filters contaminated water from almost any source. Life Straw is lightweight and compact, perfect for hiking, camping, or in an emergency like a flood. Life Straw is easy to clean, comes with a one-year warranty, and has been used worldwide since 2005. Get the amazing Life Straw personal water filter at MyPatriotSupply.com. Plus, check out Survival Seed Vault, 20 seed varieties for only $37.95, Tattler canning lids, long-term storable foods as low as $69.95, and much more at MyPatriotSupply.com. Enjoy stress-free shipping on all orders over $49. Call 866-229-0927 or visit MyPatriotSupply.com. That's 866-229-0927, MyPatriotSupply.com. For emergency preparedness, self-reliance, and food independence.
Heart-related health problems affect millions of people each year. Maybe you're one of the many who suffer from issues related to angina pain, high blood pressure, congestive heart failure, unbalanced cholesterol, irregular heartbeat, or clogged arteries. There is a solution that doesn't involve expensive prescription drugs that only mask the problem and leave you with horrible side effects. If you are ready to live your life free of sickness, pain, and fear, live your life with increased vitality, energy, and youthfulness, and experience your body healing itself, then you're ready for Heart and Body Extract from Healthy Hearts Club. Heart and Body Extract has a 23-year proven track record of using certified organic herbs that make up an excellent formula to balance and support the heart and circulatory system. In as little as 2 weeks, you can feel amazing results when your 2-month supply of Heart and Body Extract today. Call 1-866-295-5305 or go to hbextract.com.
Land security.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to the show here. And Claire, you had a comment you wanted to make about Pakistan.
Yes. Apparently, right before the holiday, Hillary Clinton apologized to Pakistan about the 24 soldiers that the U.S. wound up killing in an horrendous mistake, an airstrike, never should have happened. And Pakistan's response, very logically, was to shut down the transit points from Pakistan into Afghanistan, where supplies and people and material were coming in. So that's been 7 months that the U.S. government has not been able to use these landlines into Afghanistan. And what those 7 months have cost us have been $700 million.
Yeah, according to Leon Panetta, it was costing an additional $100 million to be taking in all these supplies into Afghanistan without the availability of these land routes. And so the pride, the pride of the American government was worth $100 million of your money every single month, $700 million total, before they finally capitulated and said, okay, we're sorry. Your soldiers were dumb enough to get in the way of our weapons. The U.S. still does not apologize for all those other drone strikes that killed innocent parties all over the place.
And they're still going on.
And there's a bigger question behind that. why are we still sending weapons and material and ammunition to Afghanistan? I thought that war was supposed to be over, remember? Apparently, that is not true.
And it's just heating up in Yemen, unfortunately.
Yeah, well, the goal of this is to basically ignite the entire Middle East and redraw the map and just, you know, make the money junkies in Israel happy. But I repeat myself.
And, you know, I'm looking at U.S. foreign policy in the Middle East, and it is so completely, to my way of thinking, ham-fisted and brain-dead. And the reason I say this, the late John F. Kennedy said it best, when peaceful revolution is impossible, violent revolution is inevitable. And yet those in the bowels of power in this country who crapped U.S. foreign policy never seem to have gotten that reality, and in fact seem pathologically incapable of understanding it.
Okay, well, I think the reality here is that we have a couple, more than a few governments right now who are looking at the impending economic explosion, and they're thinking that a good old-fashioned global Armageddon is going to be their best chance at surviving their own corruption and mistakes. Because if they can get this global war going, then they got something to blame the economic problems on.
But the real problem with that, Mike, is there are, if this does go into a full-on nuclear war, global nuclear war, there are horrific unintended consequences, and many of them will be irreversible.
Well, there may not be unintended. I mean, there's an article up at whatreallyhappened.com today where Melinda Gates is basically out there saying that the goal of the elites and the money junkies is a major depopulation of the human race, and nothing's going to do that better than a new world war. Remember, I used to talk about how this trench warfare system in World War I almost seemed designed to kill off the maximum number of people with the least amount of damage to the local real estate. You know, two trenches, machine guns cross-firing, run over and over to that other trench, and most of them were dying. Then the Germans would come back, and most of them would die. Then we'd do it again, just back and forth and back and forth, grinding up people. And then when that was all over and Germany finally collapsed, it was almost like somebody said somewhere, you know, we didn't really get rid of enough human beings here, so let's launch this Spanish flu, which actually came out of a U.S. military base in Kansas. It was called the Spanish flu, so people didn't start asking questions about where it came from. Oh, it's the Spanish flu, or it's the grip. And nobody called it what it really was, you know, a vaccine mistake, if it was a mistake, from Camp Funston in Kansas. And, you know, World War II, you know, all those millions dead and allowed to die. And now it looks like, you know, depopulation is at least one of the agendas fueling this rush towards a new world war. And you've got Bill and Melinda Gates are out there supporting all these programs for covert clandestine birth control in other countries. We know about National Security Study 200. And what's going on here, somebody says the planet is overpopulated, and we like to joke about the fact that, you know, population is always going to be a problem because sex is more fun than death. But the reality is that population is too dense only within these giant human ranches called cities. And the money junkies love to build these cities to their own glory and get all these people in there whose labor can be harvested as wealth. But if they're not willing to invest back in enlarging the city to keep up with the population, eventually you get to a point where that city isn't able to support the population in there. But it doesn't mean the planet as a whole is overpopulated. If we got away from this idea that centralization is good, if instead of these giant, huge cities, we were spread out uniformly all over the planet in small towns and villages, there's a lot of room for people out here, a lot of room to grow our own food. But if you're living independently and you're not centralized, then the money junkies can't money off of you. And so when the money junkies are talking about overpopulation, they're talking about thinning out the herd because they don't want to build a bigger ranch. That's what they're really talking about. And the best way to thin out the population is to get a good war going. And if that doesn't work, we'll stage a new pandemic.
Or a combination.
Or a combination thereof. We've got to take a break for commercials. We'll be back after these words from our sponsors.
Yeah. You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
Do you need that sustained boost of energy, but want a more natural way of attaining it without the jolt and crash or the jitters you get from coffee and energy drinks? Zoom Tea is the healthy, sugar-free pick-me-up for body, mind, and soul. Does your coffee help you with weight control, mental clarity, anti-cancer properties, or give you an immune system boost? How about helping to stabilize your blood pressure, reduce your cholesterol, and increase your regularity? Now you can have all these health benefits with Zoom Tea. Check out ZoomTea.com or call our friendly staff at 575-936-7000. That's 575-936-7000. A one-month supply of Zoom Tea is only $20, and you get free shipping. Add chai seed to your order for only $12.95 to increase your benefits. Go to ZoomTea.com. That's ZoomTea.com to learn more.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
A healthy heart starts with Extendovite. I've always believed that I had to have a strong defense to overcome the new superbugs of today. Extendivite, a 7-herb heart protection cocktail, not only helped me to overcome a massive heart attack, but it also has built up my natural immune defenses against colds and flus. Extendivite has so many benefits that we all should be taking Extendivite to build up our defenses for what superbugs might emerge yet. So start today, clean out the toxins, and be as healthy as you can be. To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit our website at heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
There are many water filters to choose from, but there is only one system that is consistently customer rated 5 stars as the number one system for effective filtration of fluoride, radiation, drug residues, heavy metals, a wide range of radioisotopes, and more. Introducing the PureFect Ultra, the next generation water filter that also raises alkaline pH, improves antioxidant potential, and has advanced anti-radiation technology. All while using no electricity. Sold worldwide, it provides virtually instant clean water on demand. It is not made in China, and the shipping is free to all 50 states. Buy your PureFect Ultra today by visiting PureFectFilters.com or call 888-891-4821. Again, that's 888-891-4821 or visit PureFectFilters.com.
Politicians and preachers once sometimes told the truth. We didn't throw war's first stone and sacrifice our finest youth. With no video games or cell phones, a house felt like a home. Children fought and played together and stick up on a computer alone. MacDonald had a farm, then he opened a burger joint. We've drowned in fat.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to the show. And Claire had a couple of other comments about some of the other hotspots on the world.
Yeah, that just really concern me, and I think there has to be a better way of dealing with them. And one of the observations that I would like to make is that when human rights and the rule of law doesn't get in the way of the U.S., quote-unquote, doing business as usual, those values of human dignity and human rights are tolerated. But when they may get in the way of, quote-unquote, business as usual, and I'm talking today specifically about the country of Yemen and Bahrain, those values are not at all tolerated by the United States. What's going on in Bahrain is that peaceful protesters are being literally arrested and tortured and charged without due process. And if the U.S. says that they value human rights, they certainly are ignoring it in Bahrain because Bahrain is home to the U.S. Navy's 5th Fleet. And not only that, But they have also put forward an arms deal for the Bahraini government, $53 million. Now, that can buy more than a few guns. And although the official policy is, oh, you know, these are not in any way going to be used against the people of Bahrain, I can't.
Well, they had the same deal with all this money they give to Israel. Israel is supposed to use it only for defense, not for whacking their neighbors. I mean, the reality is the U.S. government talks about human rights only when it is a useful propaganda weapon, like they've tried to do with Syria the last few days about, oh, Syria is torturing people. Well, so is the U.S. government. I mean, come on, guys. How hypocritical can you get? We have a caller on the line with a question. John in Phoenix. Aloha, John. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Well, thank you very much for talking about these things. The thing that has puzzled me for years, particularly after reading about the so-called conspiracy theories or what really propelled us into World War II, things like the Levon Affair, things like the Liberty, and many other of the events, and, of course, 9/11. Why so many people absolutely refuse to even read or think about the plausibility of any of these things, and just what you're talking about today, population reduction, the way the money junkies think, and what they're conspiring to do, I've just wondered why so many people just reject it out of hand.
Well, it's really a very simple explanation. We are all raised to want to be and to think of ourselves as good, honorable, law-abiding, courageous people. And we like to think of ourselves that we would take a stand against injustice if we saw it in front of us. It's a nice little fiction that we are taught by our television shows and movies. But the reality is when people are actually confronted with a government that has gone wrong, that is engaging in torture, that is starting wars with lies, then you have to face a choice of whether you're actually going to do something about it. And to take action against an oppressive government entails a lot of risks and a lot of potential harm, and you know, to yourself and to your loved ones. But to know the corruption is there and not do anything about it means you have to surrender your self-image as a good, kind, moral human being. And most people don't want to face that choice. And so they basically accept with grateful eyes and trembling hands every little piece of propagandistic lie the government hands out that will allow them to go on believing that they're moral, decent people. They just don't see any reason to do anything about the problems because they're not there. And that is why most propaganda is not designed to survive a critical analysis. Most propaganda is pretty sloppy, but it's only there to give those who don't want to think about it an excuse not to think at all.
I have a family member who, you know, we have a lot of history, and I love her dearly, but I can't begin to talk about these issues because she has had to put on this sort of cloak of denial, if you will. If I don't look at it, it's not there. And that's, you know, that's unfortunate,
it really is.
But that's the truth.
You have people who are looking in the mirror and saying, I'm a good, a moral human being. I'm courageous and brave. I would take action against government corruption, but I don't see any reason to do it now. And they go on living this little life of self-deception. Fortunately, that segment of the population is getting smaller and smaller and smaller and smaller as the enormity of this monstrous creation that the U.S. government financial system has become comes on home to us all. I mean, when you have so many people who are out of work, you know, 40% unemployment in this country, virtually every American has lost 40% of their net worth. There comes a time when all the denial and the propaganda simply isn't going to work any longer. And I think we're at that point. And that caller that we had earlier on the show, I think, is an excellent example. He called and he said, I used to hate you. And then I started looking around and realized you were actually right all this time. And that is a trend we're seeing all across the country where people are finally, they're saying, I can't go on believing these lies that we're getting from the corporate media. I can't believe the lies that we're getting from our political candidates, even if it is protected speech under the First Amendment, according to the Supreme Court.
And what you do is you talk to people. Now, you're going to have to pick and choose who you're talking to and have a sense as to whether logic is something that is going to reach them. because there are some people logic cannot reach. But if you find someone who is logical, start talk to them about what you've been thinking, hearing, and seeing in the alternative media. And many times the response you'll get will be astonishment. Wow, I didn't know that someone else beside me thought this way about this issue.
Yeah, you pick your audience very, very carefully. You approach the people who are, you know, ready to listen. Mm-hmm. You're not going to drag them across that bridge. You're going to have to lure them across. And also, one other thing to keep in mind, because I'm getting a lot of emails about this as well. We all know that the FBI keeps undercover informants on every college campus in America. They've been doing it since at least Vietnam days. Now, those informants, when they graduate from college, they don't stop being informants. They're still part of that whole Stasi-like network that the FBI maintains a population. So every once in a while when you start talking about what's going on, you're going to see somebody who's going to get up and just yell and hurl names at you and accuse you of being a traitor and an un-American and the rest of that. Generally, that's your paid FBI informant. Don't even waste your time with them. It's pointless to waste your time arguing with people who are paid to argue with you. And so you just ignore them and say, okay, you're not ready to listen. And you just very quietly go off and you talk to the people who are ready to listen. Okay, and if the guy follows you to scream at you, then that's definitely a dead giveaway that you're dealing with an informant. One of the analogies I like to use when we talk about all these online shills who are here in the alternative media and the internet, and they're here to cause trouble and to just constantly stir up argument back and forth, is what I like to call the taco place and the pizza parlor analogy. And it's, you have this little town square, and this little town, people work all day long, and at the end of the day, they go to their favorite food place to have their meal. And the taco lovers go to the taco stand, and the pizza lovers go to the pizza parlor, and they have their meals, and they talk with their friends, and everybody has a good time. And then all of a sudden, this guy walks into the middle of the taco stand and starts screaming that taco lovers are idiots, and really, why, how could you eat something that looks like that? And is that really a normal reaction? No, it isn't. If the guy really loves pizza, he should be over at the pizza parlor eating pizzas with his friend and not standing in the middle of the taco parlor, or the taco, screaming at the taco lovers. And, it doesn't take a tremendous leap of intelligence to understand you're dealing with somebody who got hired by the pizza parlor to go over and badmouth the taco lovers. And the same thing is true of the peace groups on the internet with all the blogs and everything. When you see people come in just ridiculing everything that you're saying, the first thing you ask is, if you really think this is all so dumb, why are you here? Don't you have a life? And of course, they don't really have an answer to that. But we know that the government of Israel is paying Jewish students to stay at home and get on their computers and post propaganda to the internet that favors Israel. That's why you don't see them working minimum wage over at the local fast food restaurants. We know Cass Sunstein and his group are out there with paying public relations, vast fortunes of your tax dollars, to lie to you, to propagandize the internet. The good news is, once you know it's being done, it's really easy to spot the stuff. It's like when you watch a magic show. I used to be a professional magician. It's how I paid my way through college. When you make a mistake, the audience is on to you, and that suspension of disbelief is gone forever. They don't even need to know exactly what it was you did. They just know you did something. They saw the slip of the hand with the card up the sleeve or something like that. And from that on, you might as well, wrap up the show and go, because, you've lost the audience. And that's kind of where we are with the U.S. propaganda. In fact, there was an article we posted to whatreallyhappened.com just yesterday where the U.S. government moaning the fact that all of the vast sums of money they're spending on propaganda isn't getting the return it used to. The government of Israel was whining and crying and moaning just a couple of weeks ago that they're losing the public relations battle for the minds of the world. Now, public relations is a polite word for lying. The difference between a public relations executive and a liar is the public relations executive gets a salary. And that's the only difference. And so, even the U.S. and Israeli governments are admitting they're losing the war for the minds of America, because we see the tricks. We see the card up the sleeve. We see the little trapdoor in the hat that the bunny is going to come on out of. And we understand that pizza lover standing in the middle of the taco stand screaming at us is paid to be there. And as long, once you know that the U.S. government does in fact play these dirty tricks, the people who are working for the U.S. government are very, very easy to spot. The only reason it worked before, like in the 1960s, Americans were absolutely convinced their government wouldn't do things like this, even though we saw every other government on earth doing it. We knew the East German government had the Stasi. We knew the Soviet Union had the KGB and the GRU. We knew they were, you know, spying on everybody and the rest of it. But no, we're Americans. We're different. You know, our government wouldn't do that to us, which was not only dangerously naive, it was racist as all heck. Now we know that, yes, in point of fact, the U.S. government does treat the American people exactly the same way the East German government and the Soviet Union treated theirs. That the FBI is just like the Stasi, with informants and illegal searches and framing people for government. That whole history of COINTELPRO. Yeah, the U.S. government loves to play dirty. And then they count on Hollywood to polish up their image and convince you that, yeah, really, it's a swell bunch of Joes. I mean, the reason that Charlie Chaplin got kicked out of Hollywood, lost his citizenship, was he was in this perpetual battle with J. Edgar Hoover. J. Edgar Hoover was convinced that film and TV should always, always serve the needs of the government against the people of the land. And unfortunately, sadly, throughout most of its history, Hollywood has done precisely that. Those few who dug in their heels at the end of World War II and said, wait a minute, we just got done demonizing the Japanese and the Germans. Why should we demonize the Russians? They were our allies. And they, of course, became the victims of the House Committee on Un-American Activities and the blacklisting and Joseph McCarthy, because they wouldn't do what the money junkies wanted and sell a new war with Russia after we had just gotten out of the old war with the Germans and the Japanese. And look at Hollywood today. I can't think of a more clear example that Hollywood has whored itself to the war machine yet again than last year's Academy Awards, where Hurt Locker got the Best Picture nod over Avatar.
That made no sense whatsoever.
They're not even in the same category in terms of filmmaking. But Avatar was a pro-peace, anti-corporation statement, and so it could not be allowed to win any awards.
And it's so pictured the way various countries on this planet get absolutely destroyed for their natural resources.
I think that was one
of the reasons why it should have been Cameron's award, in my opinion.
It really should have been. And you know something, having been a victim of the politics of the Academy myself, it's not like I give them any credibility any more than we do the Nobel Peace Prize. It's just a goal thing on the wall to trick you into thinking this is the movie you should see and don't go look at the others. Didn't work. Hurt Locker really didn't make all that much money, as well loved by the government as it was. Avatar is a runaway huge success, as well it should be. And if you don't own that DVD or Blu-ray in your collection, that is one that you should have. That's one that you should show your kids down the road.
Absolutely. It's a very beautiful, it's a beautiful metaphor for some very terrible things that are going on this planet.
It very much is. James Cameron had a lot of courage putting it together, and that's why I keep holding up James Cameron as the ideal of what capitalism ought to be. We don't envy him for being rich. We don't resent his being rich, because he got rich by making something we all wanted to trade money for. The DVD, the Blu-ray, the movie ticket. And of course, he's gone on to do some really cool stuff with his money, like all this undersea research and everything, financing his brother and whatnot. So, you know, you got to admire the guy. And you don't put him in the same category as the executives at a Goldman Sachs or J.P. Morgan, who are basically making themselves rich by defrauding the rest of America. These are not the same people. James Cameron is rich, but he's not a money junkie.
He is rich because he gave us something that we wanted to see.
That's exactly right. Mm-hmm. And he is, you see, we should idolize people like that, and Steve Jobs, and people who invent things and build better products. These should be our heroes. And yet too much of our culture, including our corporate media, lionizes the Wall Street money junkies who are getting what they're getting through fraud. Look at what happened when Harry Markopoulos brought over all the evidence that Bernie Madoff was just screwing his investors left and right. And the SEC would send people over to Bernie Madoff, and instead of investigating, they'd give him resumes. They wanted to sign on. And, you know, like I said, I have no problem with people being rich, but it's the way they become rich that is an issue right now, and which has literally brought our civilization to the edge of a new dark age. You know, if we can't turn back from the abyss, you know, we're already seeing religious fanaticism, the subjugation of science and reason, the power for the sake of power, wealth for the sake of wealth, and an absolute complete disregard for ordinary human beings, whether they be victims of war or victims of political corruption or victims of predatory money junkie behavior. It's like they don't count any longer. And we have evolved a very savage and ruthless society that I don't think is healthy for the world as a whole, especially when they got nuclear weapons.
Definitely not. Definitely not.
All righty. Well, we're coming down to the end of this segment. And when we come back, we've got a letter from a reader that asks a question that I get an awful lot of. And we're going to very briefly sort of explain what that is going to be about. Mm-hmm. So basically, the question is going to be, you know, I'm obviously not a believer. Claire is very religious. How do we get along with each other without getting into fistfights and stuff? I'll give you a hint. She's a crack shot. We'll be back after these words from sponsors.
Honey, I'm home. I grabbed a newspaper on the way home. Look at all the news today.
Don't you know that all you're going to get in the newspaper is propaganda, twisted news, and false information?
Honey, this is a national newspaper. It has to be true.
Ha! For some reason, the majority of the population believe anything the mainstream media tells them. The newspaper doesn't give out the important attention of what's happening to this country and news that affects our daily lives. Say, does that newspaper mention anything about the North American Union?
No, not that I can see.
I didn't think so. You need to go to www.newswithviews.com, where truth is more important than political correctness. That's www.newswithviews.com. Hey, don't throw that away. We can use that in the birdcage.
Okay, move over. Let me start reading newswithviews.com.
The truth? Read all about it at newswithviews.com. Newswithviews.com, where reality shatters illusion.
If you're the mother of a child with behavior problems, I'd like to talk to you. My name is Janet Lehman. I'm a behavioral therapist and a mom. I know what it's like when the child you love becomes a defiant, out-of-control child who disrespects you. That's why my husband James and I created the Total Transformation, the program that tens of thousands of moms are now using to turn around their child's behavior. If you've heard about the Total Transformation and wondered if it will work for you, now you can try it for free. I'm willing to give away 1,000 programs today for free. All you need to do is get the program and let us know how it works for you. We'll let you keep it for free. I know the Total Transformation works because I used these techniques with my own son and with troubled kids for over 30 years. Let me prove to you that it works by giving you the program for free.
Call now. 1-800-583-1093. 1-800-583-1093. That's 1-800-583-1093.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets, even with a growing audience every day. RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcasts, as well as a contest corner where we'll raffle different prizes to our listeners. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
Leroy lives in a cardboard box down by the Mission Bell, where saints refuse to go and the sinners wish him well. Forced to carry his own cross while we drive nails in his coffin. You might say it is routine, it happens far too often. Decorated soldier, while the rich man turns away, his mother looks on with
falling.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to the show. Before we get to this reader letter asking about how Claire and I get along so well, the story is breaking. Nicolas Sarkozy has left France. He's over in Canada on vacation. Nudge, nudge, wink, wink, say no more. But basically, he lost his immunity as a former head of state 2 weeks ago. Yesterday, the police were raiding his home over this campaign finance scandal. This is getting to be a trend. Sarkozy flees to Canada to evade prosecution. Shafiq flees Egypt to evade prosecution. Chief Justice Roberts is over in Malta because he doesn't want to deal with the backlash from his sellout on Obamacare. They're all heading for the border. They're skedaddling across the globe here. All right, letter came in earlier today during the show. I would like to know how you two deal with the fact that one of you is a Christian and the other isn't. You clearly love and respect each other, but this is a very big difference between you. Manage not to let it get in the way, though. How do you do that? I'm an atheist who's been in a relationship with a Christian. We had much in common, including our political viewpoints. However, the religion issue led to arguments. I'm interested in hearing how you deal with this. I want to make a quick comment. It's simply not that important to me. I don't have a problem what people want to believe. And if you want to believe in a God or the Easter Bunny or Santa Claus or the Flying Spaghetti Monster, that's fine. My only issue with religion is with organized religion as a tool of enslavement, that old rule by divine right, and people who will wear the covering of religion in order to take money from people, and certainly this idea as a cover for this pedophilia problem, you know, where somebody, you know, likes to diddle the little kids, and he says, well, I'll go and be a priest because I can put on that robe and then nobody will ever suspect me, and they got away with that for a really, really long time. And so, you know, private religion, I don't have a problem with it. Whatever you want to believe in, fine. It's not, you know, it's not worth my effort to argue with you, okay? And I'm certainly, you know, you've seen, you know, the situation where organized religion is just another organization and can be just as corrupted as any other. That I will object to. Personal religious belief, have fun. Whatever you want to believe in.
Well, in my world, I sort of describe myself more as spiritual than religious, and I also describe myself as a mystical Christian. And I remember one of the statements attributed to Jesus in the New Testament, judge not, lest ye be judged. And so I understand how Michael came to his intellectual sense of what faith is and why it doesn't work for him, but I am a person who is a person of faith, and I need to understand him. I'm not trying to convert Mike to anything, because he is already a good moral human being doing a lot of good in this world, even though he's not a man of faith.
You're going to turn my head. You keep talking about me like
no,
that.
No, sweetheart. You know, and
well, we've only got 1 minute, yeah, and okay. I kind of want to wrap this situation up here.
Okay.
Because I am not a believer, I don't believe in a heaven or a hell or even an afterlife. And so I'm not waiting for some magical imaginary playmate in the cloud to make this a better world. If I want this to be a better world, I have to make it happen myself with the website, with the radio show, with our involvement in the homeless and foodless issues here in Hawaii, mm-hmm. any way that I can. It's up to me. There's no invisible man in the clouds who's going to make this a better world. I have to make it happen, and so do you. And on that, have a happy 4th of July. If you are in an area with fireworks, please, safety, 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 safety. We want you back here in our audience tomorrow. Have a good time, and aloha, America.